Before we start this morning, I'm just looking for prayer right now. There's no good way to say this, so the only thing that I can say is that it was caught early. I was just diagnosed with breast cancer this past week, so it's going to be a tough road for me, and I'm going to really need prayer right now. I meet with the doctor next week to find out what the plan is, but it's going to be a tough week, month, year, whatever. So right now I just need a lot of prayer to get me through. So thank you.
Yeah. These following songs are all true. They come from Scripture, actually. And before we start, let me just pray, okay? Father, nobody wants to hear the diagnosis of cancer. And so, Father, we want to lift up Melissa before you. We ask that you put your arms around her. Guide her steps. Pray for Joey and the family. Keep her close to you, and we pray for a good outcome on this. So we commit her to the hands of the great physician, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please?
Lord, what can mere mortals do to me? With your loving kindness and the promise that you will never leave me, you are my shield and my sword and are always here for me. I will fear no evil, Lord, because whatever happens to my body, my soul is in your hands. Everything on earth is temporary. Everything in your realm is permanent. Hold me in your hands, Lord, and be with me in times of trouble. Show me the way to be with you for eternity. For you are the one true God, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving. Have mercy upon me, a poor sinner, and be with me until the end. Judge, he is our Savior. He will be the one we face when we die. Who will judge our faith and whether it is real or not? Believe in him no matter what. We must believe in him down to the very crevices of our souls, in those dark places in which we never open the window to. In our secret of secrets, we must let him shine his light on us and in us so that we may inherit his heavenly paradise and live with him forever.
virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I also believe that God is much stronger than any diagnosis, and he's going to lead all the doctors that we all in our congregation need.
Amen, sister. Amen. Won't you please be seated if you're not already? Please read with me. Brothers and sisters, the responsive reading, which is Matthew 6, verses 19 through 13, and this should be quite familiar with everybody. Ready? All right.
This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come,
your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread.
And forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Amen. All right, so this prayer, you say this with humble and contrite hearts. Communication with our God is sacred and powerful. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Greetings and recognition of the sacred God as a sacred being. The next petition, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as is in heaven. It's the will of God in heaven holds the same weight as the will of God on earth, and all should carry out God's will to the best of their ability. The next petition, give us today our daily bread. Physical and spiritual sustenance are necessary to maintain our relationship with God and to maintain our existence as he wills. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. God's good grace washes us clean of our debt undeservedly. We should do the same to others who have sinned against us. Hold no grudges. Love one another. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So, temptation and testing are both the same word.
It is.
And God, it's no secret that God tests us. Melissa's being tested right now. All right? It's on us, through prayer and through God's good grace, that we don't let that temptation, that testing lead us into the temptation, lead us to the devil. And Satan is at work all the time. It's easy to do. He is insidious and can easily tempt us away from good graces. We are tested all the time. And testing couldn't turn into temptation, as I said, if we're not careful. So keep praying,
amen.
Brothers and sisters.
Thank you, Chip. Thank you. Whoever's going to help with the offering, I would ask that you come up. And offering is an act of worship, and I hope we treat it as such. It's giving of what God has given to us. And if we look at the whole theology of giving, we come to understand through the scripture, it all belongs to him. He just gives us some to be good stewards of it. And even in what he gives us, he wants us to worship with thankful hearts, glad hearts, hearts that are willing to say, okay, Lord, this is for your kingdom work. And so, just to give you a kind of a heads up, in September, you know, we participate in Lacey Day, and that takes a lot of resources because we give a lot of Bibles away, we give a lot of materials away. Glad to do it. We meet a lot of good folks. We have still a month and a half left of the free lunch program that we do by your generosity. We still supply the high school with personal hygiene products for use by the students who don't have. And there's more coming up. So we're grateful to God for the opportunities that he gives to us to share the love of Christ. So with that, as we go to prayer, we'll pray for the offering. And we'll pray for people in the congregation who are hurting. There are some here today, not here today, who are hurting with illness and other physical things. Let's pray. Father, what a privilege it is that because of the cross, that we have access 24/7 to the throne of grace, that we can come before you anytime with our praises, our thanksgiving, our petitions, our prayer, and give thanks to you and honor you. Father, I pray for those in the congregation who are battling illnesses and are under the weather and just have some chronic things going on. And yet, Father, I just ask that you touch them and bless them even today. I ask also, Father, for healing, that you might restore health. Father, if that be your will, I pray for those who are hurting spiritually, not only in the congregation, but we have a whole world outside these doors who need to know Jesus Christ. Would you help us to do that and do it in a way that shows love? I pray, Father, for the upcoming events that we have, that you would be in it and you would be glorified. And I pray for the offering, Father, as we give to the work that you have called us to, that you would bless both the gift and the giver. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sharon played my favorite hymn. You recognize that? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. You know, no matter what happens, he's always holy. He's always God. He never changes, we change, don't we? But he's always there for us. This morning, I want to take you to the Gospel of Mark. We're going to talk about the truth, and which is the Word of God, and God's kingdom. Now, you know, my training, as some of you know, prior to me going to seminary, was pre-med. Doc is here, he's a physician. And we learn a lot about the human body and the systems and all of that. And we spent a lot of time on the nervous system, particularly the brain. I was fortunate. I had a CAT scan done years ago, and the doctor told me at least I had one, right? And we know a lot about how the brain works, but we don't know everything. There's like billions of neurons in the brain, and they fire all the time. We don't really know how memory works, so we don't know, you know, some of the functions of the brain. The brain's always working, by the way, because the brain tells your heart to pump, and when you're hungry, when you're not hungry. Some of us don't get that message soon enough. But the brain always works, but we don't fully understand it. Now, when we open up the church, we plug in stuff, right? We have electricity. We take it for granted. I know a little bit about electricity, mainly don't touch live wires, but we can explain the basic concepts, but we still don't know how electricity works. And yet we know it exists. Same thing with light. When I was, again, back in college in the old days with horse and carriage, one of the universities, I can't remember when, it was a article in Scientific American, published an article about the dual qualities of light. The light is both energy and matter. It's intriguing to me as a science student at the time. And the way they proved it was interesting. They took a laser light, strong laser, and they put a pearl right in the middle of the beam. And the laser was able to support the pearl, proving it had qualities of matter also. We know that light is in spectrums and all of that, but we still don't understand it all. When it comes to some of the things of the Bible, we know they're true, at least I hope so, but we don't quite get it all. Pastor Fuji just published a book, but Pastor Fuji is who I teach with at the Kelsey School of Theology, by the way, and he just put out a book, Can Quantum Physics Explain the Trinity? Now, I don't know if it can or not. I read most of his book, by the way, and he does a real good job of it. And even he admits that he doesn't fully understand it. But he thought it would be a working theory, if you will, to try to get a better grasp of the Trinity, three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Just because we don't understand something fully doesn't mean we shouldn't wrestle with the principles. Doesn't mean we shouldn't think them through. You're going to see over the next couple of weeks as Jesus teaches in parables that he wants people to think about, I mean actively engage and think about what he's saying. Not just listen, but hear. There's a difference, isn't there? Between listening and hearing. You can listen to something. You may come out of here in the next half hour and say, tomorrow, I don't even remember what Pastor talked about. Okay. But Jesus makes it very clear. He says, I want you to hear and engage with the truth. And why? Because we wrestle with it. And we know it's true, and we say, okay, how does this apply today to our lives? How did it apply to the original hearers back then? What did they get out of it? So in this passage, Jesus gives us insights into God's truth as his light to the world. God's truth that never changes, by the way. If God doesn't change, his word doesn't change. The Bible is never antiquated. It never goes out of date. When it is read and interpreted correctly, trying to hear the original intent of the passage, its meaning stays the same. And so Jesus in this passage says, a very common sense thing here. He said, look at this. He's in verse 22. He talks about the truth of God needs to shine for all of us to see. Says something rather strange here, right? He says, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Well, if you do, what good is the lamp, right? It won't light the rest of the room and you hide its light. He says, don't you put it on its stand? The older I get, the more light I need. How about you? You know, it's just one of those things. He says, for whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. One of the characteristics about the light of God, the light of God's word, and even regular light, if I turn on bright lights in some of the rooms in my house, I discover that there's been dust bunnies growing that I didn't even know about. I swear they multiply. But light reveals that type of thing, doesn't it? I've used this illustration before. Right after seminary, God, in his sense of humor, gave me a job driving for a limousine service. And I was at Newark Airport in a snowstorm, waiting for a family to come in. And the flight was delayed about an hour and a half. And I go into the men's room, they got these bright fluorescent lights over the mirror. Now, at that time, I was 38, 39 years old. Long time ago. I looked into the mirror under this bright light and I said, when did this happen? I was like caught by surprise. I saw the gray hair coming in. I saw the wrinkles coming in. I said, when did this happen? Light reveals things, doesn't it? If you ever work with a microscope, you put a sample under the microscope and there's a bright light underneath it that illuminates it. And magnifies it so you can see what we can't see with the naked eye. Whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed meant to be brought out in the open. God's word should always shine. It should shine as we teach it, preach it, live it. It should always shine. There's ways we try to put it out, don't we? Easy for us to do, you know. We've all had bad days, right? We all sometimes get a little bit hot under the collar. We all sometimes say things we really shouldn't say. And those are times where the light dims. But Jesus is saying, no, the world out there needs to see the Word of God in our lives, in our speech, in our actions. It's something that I think we've lost in the modern church. We think Sundays is our spiritual injection, and Sundays is not that. Sundays is a day of celebration where we come after a week of seeing what God has brought us through. In spite of us sometimes. What God has brought us through, and the fact that he gives us another day by his grace to come and give him praise and glory, even when the world is falling in. Goes on to say, if anyone has ears, let him hear. Listen. I want to remind us that in this world, and I talked a little bit on this on Wednesday night with the prophet Micaiah in 1 Kings, we live in a world that is not friendly to the Word of God. We live in a world that is hostile to the Word of God. We know that. It was hostile in Jesus' day, wasn't it? Why should we expect any better? It's not popular. So we have to know, even when we stand for God's truth, we might not be popular And sometimes it could even be dangerous. Now, here in this country, we still enjoy, for now, the liberty of worshiping as we please, and we can assemble here, but I would suggest to you that over the last 20 years, that our liberties outside these walls have been restricted greatly. And that cannot stop the gospel. It should never stop the gospel, the word of God, from going forth. I talked a little bit about Wednesday night when Peter and John, right after the inception of the church, they created a ruckus. One of the politicians and religious leaders back then said, look, the whole world is going after this Jesus, and he's dead. They denied he rose again, by the way. We got to punish these guys for speaking the truth in love. John and Peter were put into prison. And they had to decide what to do with these guys. We got to do something. They're causing problems. This is the Roman government, by the way. They're causing problems. So they really didn't know what to do. So they called them to account. And they said, we're going to flog you. And then we're going to release you. But you cannot speak the name of Jesus anymore. In other words, you can't speak the truth. After all, wasn't it Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? They said, you can't do that anymore. I don't know if you remember their reply, but the reply was very simple. In all respect, they said, I will do what the Lord tells me to do. In other words, you can do whatever you want. It's not going to stop us from doing what God wants us to do. We need people in the church, preachers, Bible teachers, Sunday school teachers, neighbors, families. I'm talking about believers now. We need people with moral courage. Don't hide the truth. And I'm not saying be vindictive or go on a witch hunt. I'm saying we're called to speak the truth in love. That is, if we regard other people and know their destiny without Christ, that we share the burden that Jesus has for the unbelieving world and look for opportunities to build a relationship with people. And when we earn the opportunity to share the gospel with them, do it in love, but do it without shame. Paul says it this way, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to what? Save. And Jesus is saying, listen, if anybody has ears, let him hear. In other words, I want you to chew on this. I want you to see if this applies to you. Let me remind you about the life of Daniel and his friends. Daniel taken into captivity with his friends. And the government saying to Daniel, we're going to change your names. You got to eat our food. We don't want to hear about your Jewish diet. We don't want to hear about your Jewish God. What did Daniel do? He prayed five times a day. Didn't stop him. His friends never denied the word of God. They tried to put him in a furnace. And the king says, where's your God now? Can he deliver you? And his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know them, right? Says something very simple and very dynamic. Yes, King, he is able to. However, if he chooses not to, it's okay. It's okay. The word of God goes forth. The word of God goes forth. If anyone has ears to hear, Let him hear it. Look at the life of Jesus. You know, Jesus was killed, crucified, because he simply chose to love people and share the truth. And Jesus says to his disciples, what makes you think you'll be treated differently from a world who hated me? In the United States, we got really used to comfortable Christianity, and we still are. And it has taken its toll on the church, unfortunately. But I think, if you allow me to say this, when we are following what God wants us to do, and he gives us opportunity to share the gospel with other people, sometimes it's not going to be comfortable. Sometimes they'll tell us we're stupid or fools. Sometimes they may slam a door in our face. In the case of the prophet Micaiah, when he told King Ahab the truth, one of Ahab's aides went over to Micaiah and smacked him hard across the face for saying the truth. And he said, I will only tell you what God tells me. Look at the reformer, Martin Luther. Excommunicated from the church he loved. He wanted to reform it. Bring the Catholic Church back into line with what the New Testament teaches. They should have listened. But they didn't. They chose to get rid of this nuisance. And if it weren't for Martin Luther, we wouldn't be here today. The light reveals also sin in our lives. Jesus' light will reveal his holiness and our unholiness. As born-again believers, we have to understand that man's biggest problem, I say man, mankind, women, I'm not politically correct, so forgive me. The whole human race, their biggest problem is sin. Sin separates us from God, original sin, right? And the only answer for that is what Christ did on the cross for us, because he loved us. He went in my place, in your place, to pay for the penalty that I owe, death and eternal damnation. He experienced that on the cross. We can't be shy about that. That was God's greatest gift to the universe. 3 days later, he validated that with the resurrection. Jesus is still alive. He's not in the grave. And he's still willing to embrace sinners that come to him in repentance and faith. You don't have to do good works. You don't have to clean yourself up. Jesus will do that for you if you give yourself to him. If anyone here has ears to hear, let them hear. The truth can't be suppressed. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this next week. But the truth cannot be suppressed. We need to study the Word of God. Study it. Not just read it for 5 minutes, but study it. We need to memorize it, not a dirty word. We need to memorize. And if you say to me, I'm too old to memorize, I can quote a dozen commercials and you'll know from the slogan who they are. We need to chew on God's word, digest it, say, what does this mean for me? How does this apply to me today? I know how it applied to the hearers. What does this mean for us today? We need to apply it to our lives and then pass it on to others. That's the Great Commission, by the way. You know, Jesus continued and basically he says, you know, look at this with me. I'm not sure if I'm going to get any farther than this passage today, but that'll be okay. It says, consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Let me put that in a little bit more modern English. And I'm going to appeal to Sharon here, because Sharon has been a music teacher for 100 years, right? Anybody who plays an instrument, you know, I have to laugh. Young people, they get, drumsticks in their hands or a trumpet or a keyboard. They want to play like they know it all already. It comes with practice. It comes with more practice. It comes with agonizing practice somehow, sometimes. What Jesus is saying here is, you will get out of the truth what you put into it. In other words, the more you study it, the more you're going to get out of it. The more you practice it, the more you discover God's character and how he uses that truth in your life, and by faith as he brings you through the circumstances of life. The more you put into it, you will get more out of it. We used to have, when my sister-in-law was still with us, we used to have the daily bread. She used to supply them here. She's probably looking at me and said, don't tell. I didn't want anybody to know that, but she'll get me when I go up there. But I used to say, okay, listen, daily bread's okay, but it's only a starting point. You can read it. You can look at the verses. Look at the verses they refer you to. But it's you have to hear the word, digest it, chew on it, meditate on it, and then apply it to our lives. The more you practice, the more you get out of it. So did I give a good commercial to practice music? Okay. All right. By the way, Doc is here today. You know why they call medicine a practice? Keeps on practicing. You learn more, right? You're always a learner. You practice, you get better. Pastors are considered practitioners. In other words, the longer God keeps us here, supposedly the smarter we get and the more effective we get. Whoever has will be given more. But whoever does not have, what they have will be taken from them. In other words, if all you do is read the daily bread, it doesn't give you much unless you spend some time with it, look at the other verses, meditate on it. You only spend a couple of minutes with it. Whatever knowledge you have has gone away. It ends when you close that book and get caught up in the world again. Whoever does not practice this, whatever they have will be taken away. There's a lot here, and we're going to go into next week the kingdom of God. And I want you just to notice again that Jesus again is teaching in parables here. And he says, look, I want you to know that the truth should never be hidden. We should never be ashamed of the truth. We should be proclaiming the truth, always in love, never in arrogance, never vindictively, but we should always be proclaiming the truth. People should be able to look at our lives and see the truth. Now, we don't always do that, but that's what confession is for, isn't it? We say, Lord, I blew it. I blew it. I sinned. Would you forgive me? And he will. 1 John 1:9. Take my hand, Lord, and let's go through this together. Then he brings up this topic about the kingdom of God, what it is like. You read the Lord's Prayer before. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Where? On earth, as it is in heaven. We're going to unpack that next week and see what all of that means. Because a lot of people don't understand this. If I were to ask the average churchgoer to define what the kingdom of God is today, most wouldn't be able to answer me. So you're going to have to come back next week to find out. This is what the kingdom of God is like. Now, let me just end with an illustration, if you permit me. I often have interaction with people. I always, if he's watching, I apologize, but I always use one of my nephews. He's an attorney. And when he comes here, he lives out of state, but when he comes here, he'll come to our service and he'll say to me, "Too much singing. I want to hear you speak more." And I said, no, singing is important. It's part of worship, right? And he still tells me that when we get together. Too much singing, he'll watch our services. And I try to explain to him that all of this is preparation for when God calls us home. We're going to be worshiping. You don't like singing now, you better practice it. Because we're going to be doing some singing. Now, heaven's not going to be a continual praise service, but we're going to be doing some singing. Now, Pastor, I don't have a real good voice. You don't need a real good voice. God's going to take care of that. But practice singing now. Practice reading the word now. Do you realize that when God calls us home or he comes back again, I hope he comes back today. Wouldn't it be great if he came back before the World Cup? But anyhow, they wouldn't think it was great. But when God comes back again and he reigns for the 1,000 years, then he sets up the eternal state, the new heaven, the new earth. We are going to have eternity to learn more about him, to worship him, to honor him, to do the work that brings glory to his name, to use our gifts, our spiritual gifts, in ways that we never even imagined. God's good. But we need to not put the light of the word under the chair. Years ago, and I'll shut up with this, okay? Years ago, Dr. Robert Cook, who was a pastor and then president of King's College up in New York, before the electronics, before we had cell phones and, telephones. No, we had telephones, but not cell phones. He would say this: when people came to church without their Bibles, he would ask people, "How come you don't carry your Bible?" Not in a legalistic way or anything, but they said, "Well, I just come, you have the scriptures in the bulletin and all." Okay. But he says, "You ever think that when people see you carry your Bible, they must think there's something special about it?" Think about it. I agree with him. There's something special about this book. It's still number one bestseller, has been for a long time, but it's the least read. But again, not arrogantly or pompously, it's something about average folks like you and me carrying in a Bible. And people are saying, "Gee, that must be important." Let us never hide the Word of God. Let us never put the Word of God in a place where it doesn't shine, either speaking, singing, or in our lives. God is good. And all the time. Melissa? And Chip? Anybody else want to come up and sing? This last song, I hope we sing this prayerfully. There is only one God, three persons, but one God, and He is God alone. May we never grow tired of the good news of Jesus Christ. I just want to wish a happy birthday to my wife, Mary Lou.
Happy birthday.
She's 17 years old. I'm dyslexic, so you can figure it out. But she deserves the medal. We'll be married 50 years in September. So there's a special reward in heaven for her, I know. As we go forth, let me just encourage you that we don't go forth alone, that we go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power of the Word of God, and that together with God, and as we encourage one another, we could face the challenges of life. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for the service today. Thank you for our guests. Thank you for leading her here today. I pray, Father, as we leave this place, that you would open up opportunities for us to share the love of Christ with others. And Father, we want to give you all the glory. We want to magnify the name of Jesus. And so, Father, help us to do that through your Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Not bad. Have a great lunch, guys.